Thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for being here. Pray the Lord to help us, and may He get all the glory and get all the praise this morning. And maybe we get challenged ourselves as well this morning. Maybe just before we come again, we'll give a wee help from the Lord this morning. Father, we give you thanks and we praise you once again for our garden. The garden is unto him as we've already prayed. We thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. We pray, Father, this morning that we take up thy word. And it's your word, Father, not my word, it's your word. And we pray that we will use it to your glory and your praise, Father. And souls will come to know thee as Lord and Saviour as well. But for our challenge, Lord, that we would all be challenged afresh. And not only be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers of it. We give you thanks in the Saviour's love and precious name. Amen. So we go to Genesis chapter 22, please. Genesis 22, and we'll read a few verses of Genesis chapter 22. Coming in at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take thou thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took the two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son cleaved the wood for the burnt offerings and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire of the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And so they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told them of him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and brought Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, and neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered up the burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, and said, It said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Mount Jireh is the Lord will provide. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself I have sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiply, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my word. Abraham, in his obedience, got the promise that the Lord said he would give him. You know, we've heard this story many times in this reassembly, in different ways and different things. And we find that he was tempted. It says here at the start, it came to pass that these things God did tempt Abraham. Well, we know that God doesn't tempt anybody with anything. He tests them. The word, it's an English word, means test. And God never tempted anyone in the sense we use the word today. In James 1, keep your hand at Genesis 22, please. In James, James 1, so in James 12, chapter 1, verse 12, please. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Whereby, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to laugh. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness an engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So we can't be tempted. We can be tried and tested. Abraham had been learning from the time that he left Ur of the Chaldees for a great many years. The first test was, as you know, was the famine in the land. That was in Genesis 12. Just come with me and we'll go through it. But it's not me, it's the Lord that's saying it. In verse 12, or come in at verse 9 of Genesis 12, and Abraham journeyed going on still towards the south, and there was a famine in the land, and everyone went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So we find that the first time he gets tested was when he went down into Egypt. There was four difficulties of testing that the Lord had given him. A was leaving his country and his home and his relatives. B, separating from Lot. C, giving up his own plans for Ishmael. And C, and D, sacrificing Isaac. That would have been very hard for anybody, as we all would know. Leaving your own country, your home, and your relatives is one of the hardest things to do when you're traveling. Thinking the years of early years when people had to move away from, like say here in Ireland, that they went to America and all the time, and they left to leave everything behind them and travel to America and all the different other places. I know what it is to leave my own country where I was born, and my family, families and relatives as well. And it can be a wee bit of heartbreaking as well. There's such a thing as they call it, they say it, homesickness. And that comes on you and never goes away. And then he's separating from Lot. Well, Lot was his only nephew, and it was hard to separate from him, but he had to separate because he was told to separate. He told him Lot to pick whatever way he wanted to go. You go to the left, I'll go to the right, and you, if I go to the left, I'll go to the right, vice versa. And then giving up his own plans for Ishmael. As you know, Ishmael was his only son, born to him, but not from his own, not from Sarah, and so he had plans for him. And then the sacrificing of Isaac, as we've already read, that it must have been hard for him as well. None of us could really think what like that would be, for to go and do a thing like that, to take your son and do what the Lord had done. We find in Hebrews 11, it tells that by faith, Abram, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. We find of whom that was said, that is, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And so all the plans was laid, and I accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. We find in Matthew as well, when it's told that Matthew 29:20 and verses 17-19, that Jesus going to Jerusalem for the 12 disciples apart in the way, said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the chief priests and taken up, and unto the scribes, that they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him up unto the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So we not only find that Isaac offered up his only son, but we find that the Lord God offered up his only son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're so much to thank the Lord for this morning. But the promises that was given, see, this was a test of love as well. And we were talking about love this morning around the table. I understand that it's the first time that the word is used, love, in the Bible. Abraham loved his son, but loved God more. Isaac was God's gift to Abraham, but the gift had to become a sacrifice to God. You can't put yourself in that position, because you have to be in that position to know what it would be like. Someone said, and I believe it was Donald Barnhouse said this, if the gift becomes more important than the giver, it becomes an idol. Just think about that now. If the gift becomes more important than the giver, it becomes an idol. We get many things from God and we make them idols in our life. And that goes from anything that is handed out. And I was thinking of it when Saul was after him, David asked if he could only get a drink of water from Jerusalem, that he said that he was thinking about it. But we found out that the David's violent men risked their lives to go and get the water. What did David do? He thought it was too great for him to drink the water that men would risk their lives for, that he poured the water out to God. Couldn't drink it. So God gave his only begotten Son a ransom price that we might live. In Genesis 23, I'm going to show you some other tests. Genesis 23, please. And Sarah was 177 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kajarah Harba, the same in Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abram stood up before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Why am I mentioning this as well? Because it's part of life as well. Abraham is a pilgrim. This pilgrim was mourning because of his wife. Sarah, I believe, is the only woman named in the Bible whose age is given and the Bible described the death of a woman. It tells us in Hebrew, a death of a woman of faith. Faith is not an enemy, we're told. Faith is not the enemy of tears, for we sorrow as those who have hope. And we find that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 and 18. But remember John 11 and 35. John 11 and 35 tells us that Jesus wept. Jesus wept with Lazarus. So in 23, verse 4, he says, I am a stranger and a sojourner. Abraham was a pilgrim. He had not had much of this world, although he was wealthy. He had been given promises that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the sea shore, as the seed that shall possesses the gate of his enemies, and thy seed, and in thy seed shall all nations of earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. He's been tested. He's been tried. He's been tested by obeying his God and giving up his son. He's been tested by the loss of his wife. And he's trying to buy this land for a plot. And he's mentioned to them that I am only a stranger and I'm in this land and a sojourner. And we're only strangers here in this world. We're only passing through. This is not our home. We're only passing through. We're only journeying through. And as we said this morning, that there'll be mountains to climb and there'll be valleys that we'll be in. And as we see here, there'll be weeping and sorrow and there'll be joy. The possession of a burying place, nobody likes to talk about in these days. You talk to anybody about death, they don't want to know anything about it. It's not till you get up in years like ourselves, the older people are prepared for it. Well, we have prepared when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. But in the age that we are, we have prepared for the time that we may go for our families. So that's what Abraham was doing. He was preparing, trying to take possession of a burying place for Sarah. I read that some say that the saddest documents that we have in our possession is the title deeds to a cemetery plot. And so it must be. We've all got brothers and our family, our fathers and mothers and uncles and aunts, brothers and sisters and sons and daughters that people have lost. And it's not a thing that we want. It's the last thing we want in our possession. But this is what Abraham was going through. And it's interesting to know, that Abraham, the only land that Abraham ever owned by the right of purchase. And so what do I mean by that? It means that God had promised Abraham the land to his seed. But this is the which he had purchased himself. In Genesis 15, we find, if you come with me, Genesis 15. And come in at verse 5 just to get the connection. Well, come in at verse 2, sorry, to get the connection. Abraham said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, look now towards heaven, and tell the stars if they are able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God always keeps his promise. Only man doesn't keep his promises. We let people down at times. God never does anything small. He makes oceans so deep they can't fathom it. He makes mountains so large that no one can measure it or weigh it. He makes flowers in their billions and millions of them where no one to admire them but himself. He makes grace, he makes it without sides or bottoms, and leaves the top off it. Whatever blessings is in our cup, it's sure to run over. So it does. With him it's always the fatted calf, the robe is always the best, the joy is always unspeakable, the peace passes all understanding. There is no grudge in God. His benevolence he does not measure out of his goodness. Instead of giving salvation like medicine, he pours it out forth like a river. That's what he does. There's a river that flows from God above. There's a fountain filled with his great love. And that river is there for anybody to come and partake of it. If you're not saved, God is true to his promises that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And him it cometh to me, and in no wise cast out. So we find that it is interesting that the land that Abraham ever owned by the right of purchase, the land to his seed. So he was wealthy in the future, but he didn't have much as he travelled as a pilgrim. So he actually purchased a bit of dust to receive a bit of dust. Makes you think how feeble that we are. In Genesis 23 and 19, verses 19 and 20, it tells us that Abraham paid a high price for the land, for what became of it, for it became one of the most famous tombs in Bible history. 6 people were buried in that tomb. Sarah, Abraham himself, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Leah. 6 people were buried in that tomb. And as I was reading that, isn't it not wonderful? And it's marvellous that the one thing Abel owned on this earth was a grave. Was a grave. And Genesis ends with a full tomb. A full tomb. But the gospel story begins with an empty tomb. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, lives. If you don't own, if you're not saved this morning and you're listening in, God is sure to his promise. You can believe him. His word is truth. Say on the front there. His word is truth. All you have to do is call. That whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall say, be saved. So the gospel starts with an empty tomb. Why? Because Jesus lives. And John 14 and 19 tells us this. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But ye will see me, because I live. What a Saviour we have this morning, brothers and sisters. I had a lot more to say there, but I think I have said sufficient this morning. We have a wonderful Saviour who died for us at Calvary's cross and shed his precious blood. We're all sinners, condemned and unclean. That's the way we come in, by the Son of Adam. Even the tiniest baby, the loveliest baby, is a sinner. And when they grow up, they'll love the Son. That'll be the way of going until they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. Abraham is an example. Oh, he had his faults, and many of them. There was 13 years he went with no fellowship at all with God. 13 years he went. But he was tried and he was tested. He gave up his son. What did the Lord say? But now I know. He had to go through it. And some of us will have to go through the testing time. Whatever it may be, we have to go through it. But he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. The hymn says, I serve a risen Saviour. He's in the world today. I know he's living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him. Is always near. We all know the chorus. We can sing it. He lives, Jesus Christ lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. Along the way, the narrow way. He lives. salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he loves. He's in there. He's in the heart. It also says, in all the world around me I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, never despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts, and they'll get the blasts. They'll come from all ends. The day of his appearing will come at last. The day coming. And what does the last verse say? Rejoice. Rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah. Sometimes we don't want to sing. And we don't feel like singing. To Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him, the help of all who find, the other is so loving, so good, and so kind. What a Saviour. What a God we have. Test. Tried. Yes, they're coming. They will come. Some of us have had them. Some of them haven't had them yet, but they'll come. But the Lord will know how we fare, because the promises weren't given to Abraham until he gave up his son. Then the promise was given. What a Saviour. What a God. We always have to make the step as well. God has made the step. He's gave his son. All you have to do is take him. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this morning. Father, we give you thanks and we praise you once again for our garden. Thank you, Father, for your word, for thy word is truth. Help us, Lord, to take it in, Lord, and help it, Lord, that we not only be hearers of the word, that, Lord, we will do us of it in these days, Lord. We give you thanks, Father, for the audience before us, Lord. Thank you for the attention, Lord, to the word, Lord. We thank you, Father, for our time. Pray you take us to our homes in safety, let nothing befall us away. And when we turn again, Lord, we'll be to hear the wonderful gospel of our saving Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.